chapter 5. I'm glad you're here today. And I hope that you'll have a good weekend this Thanksgiving week. It's a big deal, amen? We're supposed to be hunting and should be snowing. That's what you're supposed to be doing on Thanksgiving week. Either that or playing football. And I remember one year we came to Montana in 1962. And it snowed on the 13th day of September. And we just moved here from South Dakota. And I said, oh, baby, I am so sorry. I brought you here to this forsaken wilderness. Amen. Well, it warmed up. On Thanksgiving weekend, we played in blue jeans and T-shirts out on base. A bunch of guys played football. Amen. That's when I could run. Amen. But anyway. But it's a wonderful, wonderful place to live. You never know what to, just wait an hour and it'll change. I have been having the privilege, and I really mean that, I've been having the privilege to teach a series, preach a series of messages called Perfecting the Saints. The idea of perfecting, the Bible says God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means to make them perfect. It means actually getting, finished carpenter is finishing something off, and he wants to make sure that those edges are just perfect. That's the idea it has. And that the pastor wants to, may I say, take that hunk of coal and squeeze it and press it down to a beautiful diamond, amen. That's really has this idea about it. And sometimes there's some grinding, and sometimes there's some polishing that needs to be doing, and some sanding and that has to be done to make it nice and smooth and perfect. And that's what your preacher's here for, to do. He is supposed to be perfecting the saints. And so we've talked about perfecting the saints of our in our salvation. We talk about perfecting the saints in making sure that we're saved. Our salvation, assurance of our salvation. Make sure we know that we're saved. We know. And then last Sunday, I talked about perfecting the saints and knowing God. And today I want to talk about perfecting the saints and knowing the Holy Spirit. For most of us, we kind of touch and go on this issue. And it should not be. We should be so thrilled. We're not to pray. Did you know we're not to pray the Holy Spirit? We're to pray to God. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. And there's some things I want to teach you today, and I want to help you. I want to perfect the saints today. The Word of God was written for our transformation and not just for information. God gave us the Word of God to transform us, to change us. The word converted, the Bible talks about it, we are converted. That conversion process is now when you accept Christ as Savior until you die. God is converting you, or He is, may I say, perfecting you. You're in the conversion in the process. The C-47s that flew turned out to be the B-20, they turned out to be the aircraft of the airlines. They converted them. They took that plane that guys used to jump out. Now they try to keep them in there and bring them home. You know what I mean? And a lot of things happened. And there was a conversion process. And in our Christian life, we went to having the Father, the devil as our Father, to the Father of Heaven to be our Heavenly Father. And so the Word of God was given to us for transformation, not just information. Though it's very important, we do have that information. We spoke this morning in Sunday school of Jeremiah. The Word of God was in his heart so much that when he finally said, I'm not going to teach nobody. I'm not going to say anything anymore. I'm not going to preach toward the people. I'm just done. But then the Bible said the Word of God began burning in his bones, and he says, I could not stay it, or I could not stop. I had to let it go. I had to preach. I had to teach. I had to tell the people that we're headed for disaster in our country. If we do not turn back to God, we're going to be taken over by the Babylonians. And guess what happened? They hated him. His Ham family hated him. The neighbors hated him. The prophets hated him. The priests hated him. And the king hated him and tried to do everything. They said, "We're going to kill you." But he said, "I can't but preach the Word of God." And then, of course, over the New Testament, where the Bible says that, hey, you can say what you want, but we can't but preach the Word of God. And so the Word of God is given to us, yes, for information, yes, for historical content, yes, for, thank God we have the Bible. We have the Genesis account, how that we became human beings in this world. We did not come out of the slime. And all of a sudden something explode and we became this wonderful, beautiful creature that we are, that are so intricate. We did not evolve. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. So you read your Bible, tells you where you came from, what you're supposed to do while you're here, and where you're supposed to go. That's a wonderful promise. So this is not just for information. This was given us for a transformation in our lives. If God said, listen now, if God said, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." If God said, and by the way, he did, "Be filled with the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, then he definitely intended for each Christian to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said in salvation, "Ye must be born again." Simple salvation is this, the simplicity of salvation. But as many as received him. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 20, verse 32. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Neither is there salvation in any other." Acts 4:12. He tells his new convert to be baptized. How hard is that? You go down in the water, it portrays the death, burial of Jesus Christ, and then you come up out of the water, portrays the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, amen? Christianity is very simple. I know where the Ortezes ministered over in Nepal. And how that they worked with the people that were Hindus and the people that were Buddhists. And oh, what a deep and what a heavy and a dark religion those are. Christianity is, hey, any old dummy can get it, amen? I'm one of them. I realized when I was 14 years old, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I realized I was heading for hell, and if I had invited Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins and ask him to come into my heart and believe that if he died and rose on the grave, he said, "I'll come in and save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simple as that. Then the Bible says, you need to be baptized. How simple is that? Go down the water, up the water. Beautiful illustration, beautiful picture. A picture is worth 1,000 words. You go down in the water. You say, "I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried." And when that preacher raises you up out of that water, he says, "Hey, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, amen. And he lives within my heart. I'm just giving you my testimony," without saying a word. How simple is that? I don't know about you, but I need things that are simple. I know there's really some smart people around here, like David Wall. He knows everything about a computer. Everything, everything, everything. I can turn it on and sometimes get it turned off. But he knows how to fix it. I like those kind of guys, amen? Brother Harold, he knows everything about anything. You just ask him, he'll tell you how to do it. Reggie, he just knows how to do certain things. There's just somebody, he just grabs the whole people by the neck and they say, "Yes, sir. I don't understand how he does it, but he does it." He's always keeping me out of hot water up the sheriff's office. And some of you, cameras and gardening and you name it. There are just certain people that know, but there's some of us that just don't get it all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. God has made salvation so simple. The simplicity of salvation is incredible. That anybody who will just put their faith in Jesus Christ, he says, when you die, you'll be absent from this body, present with the Lord. And all God's people ought to say, amen. Amen. Well, God has never made things difficult for his children because he's given us the Word of God. He has preserved this Bible for us so that we have his words. And God has never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition either. Never, never, never. He's always made it easy. And he's always sent the prophet and the priest and always sent the preachers and the teachers and the prophets and the apostles. Oh, here it is, boys. Here it is. Just want you to know it. You can eat right out of my hand with it. Amen. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. Therefore, he says to the children to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He did not make it hard. He didn't make it spooky. He did not make it wild. He plainly said, be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess. I want you to get this now. When he says it, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Semicolon. I want you to look in your Bible. There's a semicolon there. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first 17 verses of chapter 5 in Ephesians, the scripture teaches us how some things, some things we're supposed to do and some things we're not to exceed in. And they list some boundaries for the Christian life, these first 17 verses. He says, don't let your body exceed the things that it should not do. But rather, and then he goes, here's the semicolon, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the semicolon after the word excess. He is saying the way do not to exceed the boundaries of God's law is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You ask, what does the semicolon mean? That after the punctuation mark, it's there is the explanation or to tell you how, literally. So this is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here it is. Tell us about it. Then he says, this is how you do it. The semicolon tells the reader that I'm going to tell you how. Or the next word in the sentence, next words in the sentence will explain. You just have to read it. This is what it explains. Subject, semicolon, explains how you're supposed to do it. Very simple, isn't it? It's simple. And so God said, hey, don't exceed this stuff, and I'll tell you how you do it. This semicolon tells the reader, I'm going to tell you how. God says, and keep reading, and I'll explain how to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now allow me to paraphrase this passage. Don't allow wine or other kinds of sinful habits that have a potential to zap us and to break us down and break down our morals and take away our power to do right or from keeping you from staying within the boundaries of God's law. I'll tell you how to do it. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. How can you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Apostle Paul answers that. And look at what he says. Speaking to yourself, verse 19, you see it? You look at any Bible now. I'm not telling you something that just came out of some popular science book or somebody that's telling you. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says, okay? This is the author. If you have the authorized version Bible, that's the old King James, this will tell you in it how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, speaking to yourselves in, one. Now, I want you to underline that word speaking. I don't mean singing. It says speaking. There's a difference. Speaking to yourself in one. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Number six, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next one, number seven, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hey, listen, Christian, that would be a great formula for your whole life. If you just did that, it would be happy day, happy day, happy day. But of course, we kind of lose our moorings sometimes, and sometimes we lose our anchor. The anchor comes loose off the rope sometimes. Sometimes we fiddle-faddle some of the things that we're supposed to do. And well, first of all, how do I become filled with the Holy Ghost? That's really big with me. I want the Spirit of God upon my life. As a Christian, God commands us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, He does. And He doesn't make it hard. He makes it very easy, and He gives us simple things. I want to perfect you that. Now, that's first of all. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Remember, these are the words found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, following the semicolon that was the end of verse 18. God tells us, speak to ourselves. Certainly, it is proper to sing songs in our church and sing songs with our family. I heard, I was watching a little deal blip on the computer the other day. The meaty was singing to her little baby, and the little guy was smiling and starting to try to sing with her. What a beautiful thing that is. But the Bible is teaching, God is teaching us the importance of the words of the Psalms, the words of the hymns, the words of spiritual songs. He said, speak into yourselves. God commanded us to speak these songs to ourselves. God is not referring to us as congregation singing in the church. That's not wrong. But He said, I want you to know, to get started at speaking and get started being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He said, I want you personally, in private, to speak to yourselves in this position of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Why? Because God wrote 150 of those psalms. To use them to be a beginning point of being filled with His Spirit. You need to open your Bible to the Psalms each morning and start the day off, such as Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. By the way, Psalm 1 is the song. The Psalms are the songbook of the Hebrew people. They were sung at different special occasions. But God said, I want you to speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Then He says, and making melody, then singing and making melody in your heart. What He's actually saying is, I'll get ahead of my sermon, but He says, once you do that, all of a sudden something happens in here. And you start to put a whistle in your lips, and something starts happening in your heart, you get happy. Oh, you get happy. Boy, I got happy this morning when they bow the knee. Boy, I thought, whew, boy, that's it, amen. When the troubles come, when the heartache comes, you just bow the knee, and you let Him take care of it. Glory to God, man, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, double back flip, whatever you want to do, have a good time, amen. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I love that word, delight, light up. You ever seen it yesterday, the other day at the wedding, you know, and when I said, I pronounce that you're a man in light, boy, they just, whoo, they lit up, yeah. And mom and dad said, praise the Lord, got rid of another one, that's four. Three to go, amen. delight to be, that expression was that, wow. I remember when my wife got off the, well, she's my girlfriend then. She got off the airplane from Michigan, come to see my family. Man, I saw her. Man, I was delight. I mean, you didn't need no flashlight, buddy. Everything was lit up when I saw that girl. Woo! Amen. Well, the Bible said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I want to be with my wife. I want to be with her. I always want to be with her. I get so excited when I come home and Sherry's been taking care of her. I get home and she's, she's waving at me. It's a delight. God said, I want you to delight in the Word of God. He said, by the way, you will delight in the Word of God if you walk not in the counsel and stand in the way of sinners. You're not in that junk. But your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he, how long? Day and night. So we need to open our Bible in the morning, each morning. Psalm 1, Psalm 8, Psalm 15, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 25, Psalm 20, on and on and on. Tremendous Psalms. Psalm 139. Then, we go to the hymns. You take a songbook out. And hymns refer to those songs that praise God. Hymns. This is what a hymn is. They praise God. They praise His character. And praise God's quality. I'll give you one. It's called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. That's a great hymn. Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God my Father. Now listen up. This is in the morning. You get up. You read some Psalms. And then you get your hymn book out. And you take this hymn book. And you find a hymn in it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Pardon for sins and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Listen, it's nice when we sing in church. Sometimes Ricky gets ahead of himself, and it's like jumping on a fast race horse, and we're singing it so fast, we're just trying to keep up with the tempo and trying to keep the words going that we miss really what we're saying. And I'm not against that. I don't think it ought to be a funeral dirge. Some songs are sang to be peppy. Some songs are slow down and think what we're saying. Great is thy faithfulness. Forget the words here. O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Now, you do that at home, and it'll change your heart. You read that hymn, and then it says singing and making melody. I didn't sing that for you. I sang that for me. You cannot do it together in a church setting to get what God wants you to get when you're alone with God. I've always said, you're the most honest person in the world when you're on your knees before God, and it's just you and Him, and you're praying. You don't have to pray a King James prayer. Thou Father of all God, Thou art the Father, King, you know, the King and all the ones, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, the other Bone brothers, you know. Amen. No. You're on your knees before God all by yourself. I'll tell you, you're the most honest man in the world because you know that God ain't going to put up with your fluff. So there's a difference between my personal time with God and the time we come here. For the most part, there's not too much worshiping going on here. We're fellowshipping. We're being taught. We're being honed. We're being perfected in the church service. But bless God, you get home tonight and you fall down before your face before God, and you've heard the sermons and things, and you say, "Oh God, that is convicting me. That's speaking of my heart. Oh God, help me not to do that." And on and on. That will change your heart and your life. What is it doing? You're being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. She needs a hanky. How about this? To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Boy, here, I get you. Because He did that for me. Who yielded His life for atonement for sin and opened the gate that I may go in. Oh, perfect redemption. Purchased of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. Great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Hey, get yourself a songbook. Open it each day. Read one or more hymns from it. Don't start singing them yet. Just start reading them and notice how your heart and spirit begin to what? Perk up. Tell me what that is. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then it says, then spiritual songs. Spiritual songs have words written about salvation. They're what we call the testimonial songs about how God had been to us. That song, God's Been Good to Me. Wonderful song. It talks about how God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Only Christ who can sing that, amen. How about Amazing Grace? We heard it today. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But when you're singing that, you really understand it. You say, you know what? I am telling you out here I'm a wreck. But you get on your knees before God and you're reading that Amazing Grace and say, oh God, I'm a wreck. I can't break down when I'm singing. I do sometimes, but not all the time. Or they just say, hey, we'll get somebody else there that we can sing. And when our singing our church, we want to preach the song. If you're going to get up here and have bubblegum in your mouth and mumble the words, like you still got some of Mama's biscuit and gravy in your mouth. We really don't need that because we want to hear the words of the song. One of the greatest compliments I ever got when I was singing, Mrs. Evans said, Pastor Shear, I love to hear you sing because you preach the song. If you don't preach the song and look at people when you're singing and you're always head down like this, you're not moving the crowd. I want you to sing that song so that they're getting their heart ready to hear the message of the Word of God. That's why we have singing. Getting ready to hear the message. That's why I hope these prompt is coming up so I don't have to give all a bunch of Brother Racy and I, we talked about that, and I was digging his brains out of stuff and figuring out some things, and he said, you know, you ought to have a little more singing. I said, yeah, you got it, man. Amen. Need more singing. What are we doing? Getting our hearts ready. Getting ready. Amen. Now, how about this? I'm a child of the King. My father is rich. You're sitting on your knees and you can't pay your bills. And you open up that psalm and you start reading, my father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Oh, God, we're mommy and I, we're out of our time. We can't even buy shoes for the kids. And read some more of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I've heard people, we have not because we ask not. And this fires me up and gets me so excited. The Spirit of God has come upon me and more and more and more. Hey, I just keep reading. My Father, own Son, the Savior of men, who once wandered on earth, the poorest of them. But now He is pleading our pardon on high that we may be His when He comes by and by. Once an outcast stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I have been adopted, my name was adopted, an heir of a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Woo! I'm about ready to run around the room, amen. Why? Spirit of God's filling me. This is not stupid stuff. This is not crazy stuff. This is just real stuff. I'm having trouble, God. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Oh, God! That's what real praying is about. Not just because you got a list. But God is impressed in your heart, the Holy Spirit. I'll be reading, I'll be doing that. Man, I got a pencil by my side. Now, there's some things happen, I just write it down. Now I get back to it. Our church songbook has hundreds of good songs to use. Spiritual songs, the wholesome songs that are bright and cheerful, that put a smile on your face and a lift in your step. Just be sure the words are spiritually and religiously correct, though. Because there are some that are not. They make a good song, but it's got lousy doctrine. Amen. You see, God is working on our own spirit here. The Holy Spirit of God is only effective as the degree of willingness that our human spirit is positive and open to. There are some times we come to spirit. Sometimes we think things that we should not be thinking. All of a sudden, the spirit is closed off. Amen. The words of the Psalms and hymns and spiritual calling help cheer our spirit and open our spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please note how important the words of the songs are to a Christian. Remember, before God wants us to sing the songs, He wants to be speaking it in our hearts. Amen. Sometimes we get lost in the rhythm. We get lost in the musical part, the tone and part, instead of really getting the words. I had a music teacher that said, "You need to know the song, but before you know the song, you'll listen to the music of it. Don't sing it, but listen to the music of it. Then you'll get the gist to it, and then memorize the words, and it'll fit together." There's a great doctrine embedded in these hymns, in the songbooks. Great doctrine. Born out of revival. Hundreds of years. That's why when you're singing these songs, compared to herky-jerky, neat songs that some of these churches today are playing right now, and the preacher isn't even up to preach yet, and they'll give him 10 minutes to speak. Got a problem with that. Secondly, how do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? That you're singing and making melody in your heart before the Lord. Singing and making melody. Certainly, we know what songs mean. Every Christian ought to be a singer. I'm not talking about public performances. I'm talking about singing. I'm talking about in the car. I drive along singing the other day and somebody looked at me like, I hope they were thinking I had my Wi-Fi on and I was talking back and forth on my phone, you know, hands free. The Lord is singing, the Lord is referring here to singing unto Him. God gave us a voice, we're to use it to Him. It doesn't care if you're on pitch, it doesn't care if you're about tune or the tone, the musical talent that you lack. By the way, that when we started that second song there, that kind of reminded me of that. He wants us to sing to Him and for Him. Just as the birds sing in the woods when nobody else hears but God, He wants us to sing to Him. Then he says making melody literally means play an instrument. There's nothing like playing an instrument. Every person ought to some way, somehow, try to play an instrument. Even if it's a kazoo, amen? Music is much powerful medicine in the soul of the spirit of man. Unfortunately, most people never learn to sing. All they know what to do is play a radio over a CD player. God is commanding us to do the singing and the playing, not listening to someone else do it. He wants us to do it because it burns a heart, place in our heart. Amen. How do we accomplish this goal? Start reading the words of the Psalms. Start reading the words of the songs and the hymn book, the chorus book. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart to stay. What a song. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy, happy, happy. There's just all kinds of songs out there. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tank. That's a wonderful song. Speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. When you do that, you'll begin to find that your heart is more tender and the spirit is lifted and filled. Now, I'm not suggesting singing to the top of your lungs in the shower at 4:30 in the morning and waking up baby and mama. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going somewhere that would not scare your neighbors or you get arrested for public nuisance. Perhaps out in your car along the side of the road or come down here to church. You can yell and scream all you want. Nobody cares. But find some place, a quiet place, a place that will not be distracted, and speak to yourselves in songs of the faith. Speak to yourselves. I promise you, according to God's word, you'll be a happier Christian when you sing those songs of God. You say, what kind of music? Well, there's 150 songs in your Old Testament called the Psalms. Sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, search me, O Lord, know my heart today. Sing the song, make your own tunes up, amen. God doesn't care what it sounds like. He just cares you're doing it, amen. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How do you become spirit-filled Christian? As you bless the Lord, but I walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, speaking to the Psalms, take your songbook and read it. Take your songbook. Don't take our songbook. Take your songbook. Everyone ought to own. I said own your own songbook. Don't take your songbook from here. We need those. Because you forget your songbook at home. But you need to have a songbook. We can buy you a song. I think these are like $10, $10 or $12. We'd be more than happy to get the songbook. There are some churches just throwing them these wonderful songbooks away because they have them up on the screen. They don't have music on them. You're not teaching anybody nothing, and it's not keeping you from I love that song. Be not dismayed, whoe'er betide. God will take care of you. Hey, you young mamas going through life and you're so tired, you know what ends up. Hey, you just start reading this song. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Hey, you caregiver that you don't even have time for yourself, you start reading, all you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. Hey, little widow, you're all alone at night, don't know what to do. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast. God will take care of you. Through the days of toil, when heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangers feast your fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I got to close. You come back and I'll finish it tonight, all right? I want to perfect the saint. Tonight, you'll miss it if you don't come back. I promise you that. There are some things that you can hinder the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason why nobody has a lift in their step and a twinkle in their eye and excited about serving Jesus is because of some of these things. And God deals with them. Don't miss tonight. Please don't miss tonight. I feel so bad. I just seem like I just started to perfect you. Just started to take the sandpaper out and smoothing the corner off a little bit. I want you to get this. And you'll never be so happy in your life when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never be thrilled. I told my brother the other day and how that the Spirit of God really came upon him one day. And boy, it just changed his whole attitude, changed his whole life. Hey, that's what I'm after. I want to be a person that when I rub shoulders with you, you say, man, you got something I want. I want some of that. Don't you want to be that way? Hey, Mama, don't you want to be that way with your children? And your children say, yeah, Mama, I don't know what you got, but, boy, that's what I want. One of your son comes and says, Dad, I don't know what you got, but, boy, I want some of that. Married couple comes to you and sees how you and your wife are living and says, you know, we're just new married and we see. We can't explain it, but we see something different about you the way that other couples in this world are. There's just something about you. What is it? I'm going to tell you about that tonight. Don't miss that. We miss out on so much because we are unwilling to be filled with the Spirit of God. Father, I pray today that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you so much. We don't know which way to go, which way to turn sometimes. We're so crazy sometimes. We don't get it. We just don't get it. And Lord God, would you help us to get it today? Lord God, would you speak to our hearts? And Lord, may we walk close to you. Lord, if there'd be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that Lord Jesus, that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord God, today, they'd accept you as their Savior. Lord, there's no way that we can have the Spirit of God in our lives if we don't even have the Spirit in our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. Well, Preacher, I need that today. Would you lift your hand to me and say, Preacher, that's me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, I promise you that. But if you're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? All right. God bless you. Someone else. I want heaven. You're here today and say, Preacher, I need the Spirit of God upon my life. I'm about to die sometimes. The world is so wicked, and I don't know which way to turn. Preacher, would you pray for me so God would work in my heart? God bless you. Amen. Yes, God bless you all over. Wow. Amen. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God, if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that today would be that day, that they say on the 24th of November they accepted you as their Savior. Speak to their hearts now, Lord, as we have this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing, you're here tonight. And you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Hey, if you just come here, let me show you from the Word of God how you know for sure you go to heaven. It would be the greatest day of your life. You come right now. Won't you come? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I sure need that. You're here today to say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? I've got saved. And now I need to do that simple little thing that Jesus said, go down the water and up out of the water, illustrates the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. You come right now. Why don't you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, of the promise of the free gift of salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, you gave us the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, to direct us, to encourage us. Lord, thank you for giving him to us to keep us when troubles come and heartaches come, to remind us that he reminds us of the scriptures that we've read. He reminds us of the tenets of the Word of God, that we will walk close to you. Now, Lord, bless this service today. Thank you for all you've given to us. Bring us back tonight, Lord, as we finish this scriptures on the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Here it is. Oh, got one here in this minute. Huh?